our enemies said about us, Am Levadod Yishkon, Hein Am Levadod Yishkon. They are a nation that dwells apart alone. Vayavaser Yaakov Levado, Vayavek Yishimon. The Jewish people are a nation that are alone. In the sense that we live in a world where we're terribly misunderstood. And where we don't necessarily thrive when we're connected to the outside world. It's a funny thing. There's a famous teaching from the Or Chaim HaKadosh. The Or Chaim HaKadosh says, and there are people who are listening to this in geographical exile, that the Or Chaim said that the way that things were supposed to be is that they're supposed to be a Beis HaMikdash. And they're supposed to be a Jewish people. And the Jewish people are supposed to have the Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael. And all of the Kedusha and Tahara, all of the Gutzkeit that exists in the world, because it exists everywhere in the world, is supposed to be pulled by some magnetic force to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is like an Evan HaShovas, he says. It's like a magnetic force that pulls all Kedusha to it. And that only as a Bidyeved, once the Jewish people undid, so to speak, temporarily undid this magnetic force, so then Hashem had to send the Jewish people into exile to go pick up the sparks piece by piece instead of having it like vacuumed over to us. But ideally, in a certain sense, the Jewish people, we do well when we're Hein Am Levadod Yishkon. There are people who dwells apart by themselves. When people think about the Jewish people as an Ur Lagoyim, as a light unto the nations, the way it was in the Beis HaMikdash, is that the windows of the Beis HaMikdash were made in such a way that the light from the outside, normally if you want to capture a lot of light, you can bring it inside, so you create the windows in such a way that the windows spread, get increasingly wider as you move into it, focuses the light, kind of like projects the light. Almost like if you think about the way that a car headlight works, that there's a light in the middle, and then there's this kind of circular, reflective, casing around it that spreads the light in the furthest direction. The Beis HaMikdash was the exact opposite. There were tiny little slits in the Beis HaMikdash, and as if the light of the Beis HaMikdash was being projected outward to the world. Because in a certain sense, even though we have this ideal of a light unto the nations, the light unto the nations sometimes is best, or the l'chatchila, is best projected in a way where we are hein an levadod yishkon, we are separate and alone together. The Maharal pointed out that when our enemies say about us, Hein Am Levadod Yishkon, they are a nation. So he pointed out that in the Aleph Beis, every number in the ones column, so to speak, matches up with another number in order to bring it to a full state of 10. So the letter Aleph and the letter Tet come together to make 10, and Beis and Chet make 10, and Gimel and Zion make 10, and Dalet and Vav make 10, and then Hey is stuck in the middle by itself. The only way for Hey to make 10 is for Hey and Hey to come together. It has to be Hey alone, a double Hey. And the same thing is true in the tens column. Yud and Tzadi make 100, Chaf and Pei make 100, Lamed and Ayin make 100, v'chul, v'chul, v'chul. And when it comes to the letter Nun, Nun can only make 100 with itself. And so therefore, when our enemies said about us, Hein Am Levadod Yishkon, Hey Nun, they are a nation that dwells alone. The Maharal says this is an allusion to the fact But the Jewish people sometimes, in a certain context and in a certain way, have a great privilege and the great power of being alone together and then affecting the world in this almost magnetic illumination from the inside out. And that's the secret of what it means also in Chanukah, as is pointed out by many Sfarim, Yisa Bracha of Machitz, points this out, others point it out as well, that when we say about the Neros, HaNeros Halalu Kodesh Heim, Hain, these candles are Kodesh, so it says they're Kodesh Hain. These candles are Kodesh in the sense that they're Hain. And Chanukah is, if nothing else, a remarkably confused holiday, in the sense that Chanukah is all about being true to ourselves and not getting swept away. The whole notion of Chanukah presents and creating, and I mean this not as a joke, creating an artificial figure, Hanukkah Harry or whatever, and trying to our lights and their lights and try to make them the same. And this is a I'm sure there are people who are on campus who are going to listen to this. This is a struggle, and even in even if you're in a Jewish college, or even if you live in a Jewish community, or even if you're in Eretz Yisrael, Hanukkah is about Haneiros Halal Kodesh Hain. The kedusha comes from the Hain. Hain Am Levadot Yishkon. Vayevaser Yaakov Levado. Yaakov has the ability to be alone. To be a nation that dwells alone. Not alone in the sense of isolation, in the sense of not being a player on the world stage. I think just the opposite. That somehow the mystery of the Jewish people is able to influence the world, sometimes when we're isolated by ourselves. That's the famous teaching of the Beis Halevi on this week's Parsha. Others point that out as well. That when Yaakov Avinu davens to Hashem, he says, Master of the Universe, Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav. Save me from my brother, from Esav. Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav. Because sometimes a person recognizes openly, very clearly, the antagonistic nature of a particular ideal or a particular person towards the goal of Yiddishkeit. Hatzileni na miyad Esav. Esav was coming to attack me with his ideology. But then sometimes, and again, I feel comfortable speaking like this because I don't usually speak like this, and you know me, you all know me. This is not there's not a singular voice in what we're teaching, but it's an important voice, and it's a Chanukah-dika voice, and it's a time that we're able to and should take stock, especially those who don't have the zchus, like Rav Avram Shor once said over from his Rebbe from the Beis Yisrael of Ger, that he said his Rebbe used to say, sorry for the tangent, but it's kedai, that his Rebbe used to say, Chafetz Chaim said before him, that when you look at the things that are being invented in the world, you can see Ramazim to Avodas Hashem. Ramazim to Avodas Hashem. So Chafetz Chaim used to say that newspapers and tape recorders and cameras are all Ramazim to the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, that you should know Dama Lamalumcha, know what's going on above you. There's an Ayin Roe and an Ozen Shomas and Kol Maasecha B'Sefer Mechtavim. And 400 years ago, if you would say that to somebody, they couldn't imagine the concept of a camera, taping everything, or having a cell phone in your pocket recording an entire conversation, or Chol Maasecha B'Sefer Nechtavim, everything's written down. And the Chafetz Chaim said Hashem gives us chizuk in our Avodas Hashem. So if human beings could create such things, certainly the Master of the Universe could create such things. So the Beis Yisrael said, what's the pshat that Hashem allowed in the past 100 years, even less than that, that Hashem created and allowed space travel? So the Beis Yisrael said, because Hashem wanted to be meramis to the world and to show the world that there's such a thing as a human being who's able to live in an atmosphere which is toxic to his life, that he can't, the atmosphere, he can't breathe the air of that atmosphere, even his body can't really withstand certain things in that atmosphere. And yet, if he goes inside of this spaceship, he goes inside of this chalalit, so then he's able to exist and to live within that atmosphere, but in an enclosed area. And so we are very, very fortunate, the people sitting on this table, that we get to be in a spaceship called yeshiva. And that's what the Beis Yisrael used to say. That the yeshiva is like a spaceship. And, you know, I think the world looks at us like we're all aliens. It's like not a spaceship like human beings show. It's like one of those circular ones where we're an unidentified flying object and everyone's looking at us and we're very strange people. And why aren't we going to, you know, like Rav Reisman used to say, Rav Yisrael Reisman, I told you about Rav Reisman, he's the one whose movie I used to go to every once I shot, it's the Navi Show. Yeah? So Rav Reisman, said that, you know, he was once in the hospital and he told Salmaisa how he was explaining, that someone was explaining to the doctor, very fine Gentile doctor, that this is a rabbi, and you know that he gives a class that you should take good care of him. He gives a class that like thousands of people every Saturday night, they watch his class. And the doctor kept on asking him questions like, so like what do they get like at the end of the class? Like what do you give them? Is there food? Do they get like a certificate at the end? Is there like, does it somehow advance their career? Do they get like, is this like community service hours? What do they get? What do they get for this? And they couldn't wrap their head around the concept of people gathering together for the sake of just study. So you guys are all aliens in a spaceship. And the world thinks that we're kind of strange people, you know, like, you're not going to be able to take this experience this year and have a better salary. I don't think you'll have a worse salary because of it. You won't have a better salary because of it, and you're not going to get your name in flashing lights. So what are we doing? The answer is, we're in a spaceship, and we're making sure that we can breathe the air of an environment which is sometimes antithetical to what we're trying to do. And the people who are not as fortunate to be in yeshiva have to understand that there's such a thing as Hatzilenu Miyad Esav. And there's also, like the Beis Halevi very famously said, Hatzileni na miyad achi, from my brother. Because not always does the threat of Esav come in the form of Nachman Litzlan Chas V'Shalom, yellow stars and swastikas. It doesn't always come in the form of anti-Semitism on campus. It also comes in the form of even not on purpose, not coming from but an invitation to come hang out in a place where you shouldn't hang out, or to be your brother and to be your friend. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be cordial, it doesn't mean we shouldn't be polite, it doesn't mean we shouldn't be. But it means that Chanukah Dafka is a time. And Hein Am Levadot Yishkon, Kodesh Hein, that the Kedusha of the Jewish people is expressed in their Hein-ness, in their ability to join together and to create Kedusha. And this is something which is incredibly incredibly relevant and incredibly chashuv. I mentioned in that we had like a panel a few weeks ago, and one of the chaver asked, you know, something about you know, existing and being inside the Jewish bubble in college and how much should a person go out of it. And I mentioned then that the most worrisome time for a Rebbe and for a parent looking at his Talmidim and his children is during those years when you don't have a wife and children to come home to, that you don't have a hain, you don't have a nest to come home to, and no matter how crazy things are at work, and no matter how much, you know, dishonesty there is in the marketplace, and as tempting as some of the ideas or the things being thrown at you, you come home and you look at your children, you look at your wife, and you say, that's not who I am. But during those years, when a person is without wife, and without children, and without parents, and without Rebbeim to guide them, the most chashuv thing is Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, to make sure that there's time to be Levado. Now, you don't want to be Levado, as we speak about all the time. To be Levado is a very dangerous thing. Right? As soon as you're alone, that's when you can get, but levado, to be hain, to join together with another hay, to join together with another nun, to join together with another yid. and to be Haneiros Halalu Kodesh Hein, to be holy candles, to stand proud, to stand alone, when you have to, and when you see that something is not being done in a way of Kedusha and Tahara, to have Yir Shamayim, to come together in a way of Hein, is a very important and very difficult sometimes things to do, but Hashem should help us, give us the koach, to stand alone, to be levado when we need to be levado, but to be levado together, to be alone together, to make opportunities to sit together, to sing together, to share Torah together, and to increase our Yerushalayim together.
Da 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 Sefer Yetzirah says that the letter
that corresponds to the month of Kislev is the letter Samach. Samach. Samach is a circle. Pasuk in Iyov refers to something called Kislecha. He says, let Zahav be my kisli, Ibn Ezra explains it, another explains it, it's my walking stick. Samach milashon, the smoke, to support. Kisli is lashon of a walking stick. A Jew needs something to lean on in the winter months. A Jew needs something to lean on. A lot of Kislev relates, at least thematically in our minds, we think of Kislev, think of Chanukah, we think of the story of Chanukah. It should remind us of the Kohen, the concept of a Kohen, specifically the Kohen Gadol, that they found the Pach Shamim, the seal of the Kohen Gadol. And a lot of what's going on in our minds this month of Kislev is that we're trying to connect to this Nakuda of Kohen that's inside of Bas Mamlechas Kohanim. Rav Tzadok writes in the Pritzadik, or in Kippur, I think, so that if you look in the Mishnayos of Yuma, over and over again during the Avoda, which is done specifically by the Kohen Gadol, they keep referring to the Kohen Gadol as Ishi Kohen Gadol. Ishi Kohen Gadol. Or Master the Kohen Gadol. Mr. Kohen Gadol. And Rav Tzadok says that the reason they keep calling the Kohen Gadol Ishi is because Ishi is related to the notion of Esh, fire. Ishi Kohen Gadol. Ishi Kohen Gadol. The whole avoda of the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash is to be a person who their entire avoda is kulo esh, is kulo fire. That's why the Sfas Emes explains that every single day, the Kohen brings something called the Minchas Chavitin. The Minchas Chavitin is a carbon that's brought by the Kohen Gadol every single day. And that carbon is kemat identical to another carbon which is brought all the time in the Beis HaMikdash, except not by the Kohen Gadol, called the Minchas Chinuch, not the Sefer. The carbon, the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch is a carbon which is brought by a Kohen the first time that he does the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. The first time that a Kohen inaugurates himself into the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash. So he brings this thing called the Minchas Chinuch. Can you imagine a Kohen, 20 years old, it's his first time, and it didn't always happen right away because, you know, the older Kohanim got first Davis, but imagine the first time you ever got to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Before you would do the avodah, you would bring this thing called the Minchas Chinuch. Imagine the koach, imagine the fire with which you would bring such a carbon. So the Kohen Gadol brings a Minchas Chavitin every single day. Every day he brings that Minchas Chinuch, kilo was the first time he ever brought it in his life. The reason that a person needs a walking stick, the reason that a person needs something to support him, is that we get tired. The first Kohen Gadol that ever was Aaron HaKohen. Everyone knows the famous part about Aaron HaKohen, and it says that Aaron was told to to light the menorah, Parshas Baaloscha. Third pasuk in the parsha, Vayaskein Aaron. Aaron did what he was told. Rashi says, "Lahagid shivcha shel Aaron shaloshina," to tell us the shevach of Aaron, that he didn't change what he was supposed to do. He didn't change, and everybody knows the famous word that he didn't change means that normally when a person does the same thing every single day, so it starts to get old, and you start to change your relationship with it. And you know, it's not the first week of yeshiva anymore, which has its own challenges. But one of the challenges that you don't have the first week is that you're not stuck in a rut. You don't feel like, I did this yesterday, I did this the day before, come back to the same chavrusa, same spot in the base, another Shmona Esrei, another, and it's starting to get cold. And a person could begin to be shona, could begin to change. And the shevach of Aaron is that he didn't change. Because Aaron is connected to this Indian of being a Kohen Gadol, who doesn't get tired and doesn't need something to rest on, because it's mamash like the first time every time. The Gemara tells us that they went into the Heichal, and they found that all the oil was ruined, and they found that one seal with the Kohen Gadol. That means that they were somehow again able to tap into the holy fire, into the Ishi Kohen Gadol, into the Ish of the Kohen Gadol. And that's why Kislev, the month of Kislev, is connected to this letter Samach. Because Kislev Minei Ubei, in and of itself, is a support for us. Kislev is a time where we can rekindle the flames, so to speak. And where there's no weakening of our kochos, where each one of us becomes a little bit like the Kohen Gadol. Every morning when the Kohan would go into the Beis HaMikdash, the first thing that they would do is they would do a lap around the Beis HaMikdash. The pashtus of doing that lap was that they were going around looking to make sure that none of the kalim tipped over in the middle of the night, that no animals, you know, snuck into the Beis HaMikdash and died. Maybe there's a sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash, God forbid. They did a lap, and they split up and went in two different directions and met up on the other side. Perhaps the secret of what they were doing when they would go around in that circle, and they would circle the Beis HaMikdash, is that they were trying to tap into this same Indian, a circle, the whole Indian of a circle, as everybody knows and has heard a million times, I think, that has no beginning, it has no end. When something has a beginning and it has an end, that's when it gets tired, that's when it gets stale, that's when it becomes connected to Tumah. Like my Rebbe of Weinberg likes to tell the story about the Baal Shem Tov, when he took his Talmidim out this time of the year, it's Kedai to tell the story. He went on one of his journeys, and he said, "No, who wants to come?" And there was a line already. So he grabbed the first few people, put them on a carriage, and they went out to say where he was going. And he went. And they went through the forest, came to the edge of the town, and in a neighboring town, the Baal Shem said, "Let's stop here." They got out of the wagon. It was freezing cold, snow on the ground, and it was around this time of year. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh started walking with the Talmidim towards a pond where there were young non-Jewish children playing on this pond, skating around on the pond, and taking sticks and etching into the ice the sign of their religion, the what's referred to in our tradition as the Shesiva Erev, up, down, side to side image. And the Baal Shem Tov was coming close to the pond, and the children were doing this, and the Talmidim were like, "Rabbi, maybe we shouldn't, maybe we," like, they were trying to shield the Baal Shem Tov from seeing a an image of Avodah Zarah, perhaps. And the Baal Shem Tov was staring at the pond, and he was staring at these kids. He was staring at this forbidden image. And the Baal Shem Tov, after a few minutes, got back on the wagon. The Talmidim got back on the wagon, and they started to pull away. And the Baal Shem Tov said, "You see what happens? You see what happens when things get cold? When things get stale? When you don't know the secret of the circle that has no beginning and no end? When something gets stale, it starts to get hard, when it gets cold. So then the water freezes over." He said, "That water, which was so pure, which a person can, you could take tumah and you could dunk it into that water and turn it into something kadosh, turn it into something tahor. After it freezes over, it's only a matter," as though he said, "it's only a matter of time before somebody comes and makes a cross in it." That's why I always like to jokingly say that, you know, in certain places, people like to talk about, you know, if you have mastery over something, so everybody here is learning Kiddushin, so you can imagine somebody giving you a bracha, giving you a blessing. "I bless you that you should know Kiddushin cold. You should know it cold. Not cold." So I sometimes like to jokingly say that the Baal Shem Tov wanted us to know Kiddushin cold. He also wanted us to know it warm. He wanted us to know it cold. He wanted us to know it totally through and through, but he wanted to make sure that it didn't become stale. How many times I've heard in my short chinuch career, somebody say, "Oh, I learned this already once before." You don't think the person giving the shiur learned it before? They also learned it before. I hope. It's not a guarantee, but... But when we learn something again, we learn it kilu, it's like the first time, like the Kohen Gadol, the Minchas Chavitin, the Os Samach. We support ourselves, Kislev, Lashon Kisli, we support ourselves by being on that circle, by recognizing that wherever we are in the journey, the end is the beginning. It's like the first time I've ever done it. It's like the Kohen Gadol, that seal of the Kohen Gadol that was on the oil. Which allows a person to stay connected to the warmth of the beginning. And to do it like it was the first time. once had the good fortune to go to Rabbi Meir Balanes in more than once. A long time ago. This is at least 15 years ago. And while I was at the kever of Rabbi Meir Balanes, Rabbi Meir, about whom it was said that his Torah was so profound and so deep that no one really fully could understand him, and so we don't generally paskin like him in a lot of cases. His Torah was like, nobody could be Yorid the Sof Daito, no one could fathom Rabbi Meir. So when I was there, there was a small little booklet on like the Kedusha of Rabbi Meir. And in it there was a Torah on this week's Parsha that I always like to review. A, because it's a really gewaltig Torah, and B, because it's tremendous, tremendous chizuk in the world of being able to look at a world that suffers from, at least externally, what appears to be a tremendous amount of Yiridus Hadoros, but to recognize that from something which seems not so bright, we're able to come to something that's so profound that we can't even understand the Torah of Rabbi Meir. The Pasuk says that after the Malachim come back, Yaakov sends Malachim to go check out, see what's going on with Esav. And the Malachim come back and report to Yaakov that Esav's coming and he has 400 men intent to do battle with Yaakov. Right? You don't come with 400 men to play Shesh Bish. You come with 400 men to start a fight. The Pasuk says, Vayira Yaakov Vayitzar lo. And Yaakov was very afraid. And it bothered him. Yeah, there's all different types of interpretations, excellent interpretations. He was afraid and it bothered him that he was afraid. Am I afraid of this guy? Rashi says he was afraid of him. Vayitzar lo, vayera vayitzar. That's why two different words. He was afraid, Rashi says, Rashi says he was afraid that maybe he would be killed. Rashi was telling us that Yaakov heard Kipshuto, 400 people coming. He was afraid that he would be killed. Vayitzar lo, and he was bothered by what? Rashi explains that Yaakov was a man of peace. He was bothered by the fact that Shema hu yargis acher, maybe he would have to kill someone else. A man like Yaakov doesn't want to have to fight anybody else. So I saw in the Sefer an unbelievable thing. The Gemara tells us at the end of Horios that there was a period when things were not so settled in the Jewish people. There were no more kings in the Jewish people. There was not like a central authority, and there was a real sense of things not being so simply defined roles. Where it says that the Nasi at the time, it was Rabbi Gamliel, the Nasi at the time put up I'll update it for, you know, he sent out a WhatsApp saying, when the Av Beis Din, or when Talmud Chacham walks into the Beis Medrash, you don't have to stand up. But when the Nasi walks in, that's like the king walking in, you have to stand up. And the Gemara says that, you know, there were Talmidei Chachamim, amongst them Rabbi Meir, who took affront to this. He said, this is Kavara Torah. This whole Gemara, by the way, has like a million questions. I know. It's a whole question. A million questions. It seems like a petty argument, but it's clearly, obviously not. So they say, okay, we'll teach the Nasi a lesson. They happen to know that the Nasi didn't know Masechet Uktzin.
I don't know how to break it to you, neither do any of you. You're like, what's Uktan? They didn't know Masechet Uktan. They didn't know Masechet Uktan. Spoiler alert, neither do I. Okay, so I don't say that proudly. We should know Masechet Uktan. So he didn't know Masechet Uktan. That means he knew everything else, but he didn't know Masechet Uktan. So they decided, after the Manasi left the Beis Medrash, they hung up a sign, or they sent it to the secret, you know, underground WhatsApp group. Bro-raita, no? And they sent it to the underground WhatsApp group, just the Talmidim, saying, the Rosh Hashir, the Nasi is giving shir tomorrow in Uktzin here, the Makoros. Thinking that the next day, everyone will say, new Rebbe, we're waiting for shir in Uktzin, but I don't know Uktzin, and then everyone will see, ah, oh, Ma'aretz, we're going to stand up for this guy. We should stand up for Rebbe Meir and for the Talmid Chachamim. So one of the Talmidim, who was Chas al Kvod Dan Shal Nasi, went to the home of the Nasi and sat outside his home all night with his guitar, playing Mishnah songs, Masechet Uktzin, singing the Masechet Uktzin songs, and teaching the Nasi all of Masechet Uktzin. And the Nasi heard this guy outside his door. He said, it can't be that Hashem is sending me this person just to stop. I should pay attention. So he's spent the whole night paying attention. Next morning, he saw the sign, and he said, oh, now I see what's going on. And he gave a blowout shir Masechet Uktzin, asked a few questions, got to the bottom of it, found out who was responsible. And ever since, they kicked out the Talmid Chacham responsible, including Rebbe Meir, they kicked him outside. Get out of the Beis Medrash. This is how you act. So he kicked him out of the Beis Medrash. The Gemara says, people would have questions that, you know, the Talmid Chacham needed to answer, but they were not in the Beis Medrash, so they would take their questions, they would write it on a piece of paper, put it in stones, and throw them outside to the Talmid Chacham, but then unwrap them, read them, and then write down the answers and throw it back into the Beis Medrash. And after a while, again, I'm skipping parts of the story, basically the end of the story is they said, this is ridiculous, we need to let the Talmid Chacham back into the Beis Medrash. And an agreement was reached that Rabbi Meir could come back into the Beis Medrash, but that, I forget who the other person was, it was two Talmid Chachamim, one of them, from now on, would only be known as Yesh Omrim. They're not going to say his name when we say. That's why you sometimes find Yesh Omrim in the Gemara. And the other one, Rabbi Meir, is now only going to be known as Achirim. Others. Not going to say, which of course is also a reference to the fact that this is Rabbi Acher. He's going to call him Achirim now. There's a number of places in Shas where there's a machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Achirim. And in those places, Tosus always points out, this is obviously not Rabbi Meir arguing with himself. This is a different... So now, I'm sitting there, I'm reading the Sefer. And the Sefer gives such a beautiful pshat. Listen to this. The Pasuk says that Yaakov was afraid that he would be killed, and he was bothered. He was... By Tzarlo, it pained him. Shem hu yeregis achir. Maybe he would kill others. But the Sefer pointed out that we know from the Gemara in Gittin and elsewhere that Rabbi Meir was a descendant of Gerim. Specifically, he was a descendant of Roman Gerim, who were descendants of Esav. And Yaakov Avinu was terrified that in this battle against Esav, Hatzileni nami adachim miad Esav, from this Esav, and you could imagine that his 400 men were not, you know, were not learning Daf Yomi. So he was terrified that maybe I'm going to kill somebody in this battle, and in doing so, I'll kill Achirim, I'll kill Rabbi Meir. Meaning I'll kill the great-great-great-grandfather Rabbi Meir. And there'll never be Rabbi Meir in the world. There'll never be Rabbi Meir in the world. So it's a good vart, but it's such a strong chizuk. Because a person can look at himself or could look at somebody else, and he can see in that person that there's not, they're not up to par. They're not acting the way that they should be acting. I'm not acting the way that I should be acting. And so, there's a tendency to want to be miayish, Rebbe to be miayish, chas v'shalom on a student, a friend to be miayish on a friend. I tried so many times to like get him to come to shir. He doesn't want to come. I organized this special class, I told him to come, he had nothing going on, and he didn't come. So the next time I'm not going to try. Or Rebbe who's working with a student and the student's not getting there, or a person who's working with himself and he's just ready to give up on himself. One of the things that a person has to do to be mechazik themselves when they feel like things are tough, when they see that things are going rough with another person that they care about, is they have to say, I'm pained and scared of the fact that if I don't continue to push, you know what, maybe I'll never succeed. Maybe I won't finish that mesechta that I wanted to finish. I won't finish the project of learning a parak a day to finish Shas Mishnayos. Or maybe that midah that I was trying to fix, I won't. But Chas V'Shalom, I'm never going to give up because I'm afraid. Shem Yargis Achir. If I give up, if I totally drop the ball, if I don't at least continue to push myself along, okay, so I won't become... But at least to continue to push myself along because I don't want to kill the possibility. Maybe there'll be someone who's going to come from here, who's going to come from this student. Even if they themselves will never make it. First of all, you never know. Maybe they'll have a Yeshin Yanshi Tapech Kol Tova. But in addition to that, you don't know what's going to come from this person. You don't know what's going to be able to... As the Torah in Lekutei Halachos, Rav Nosson said, this week's Parsha, that when Yaakov Avinu sees that Esav is coming and there's nothing to do, there's going to be a showdown. He didn't realize that the last second Esav is going to be overcome with emotion and he's going to have second thoughts before he fights Yaakov. So the Pasuk says that Yaakov divided his camp. He divided his camp. And Rav Nosson in Lekutei Halachos has a beautiful maimer where he talks about this at length about the Indian of Yaakov Avinu dividing his camp. That when a person feels like things are difficult, and a person doesn't find it easy to hear etza that someone else is giving them, an etza that a rebbe is giving them, or the etza they're trying to give to themselves, and it's not working, so the tendency is to just say, you know what, we're going to get smacked, so just throw in the towel. And Rav Nosson says, Chas V'Shalom, the etza of Yaakov Avinu is to split the camp, to save the She'er Sapleta, to at least save what could be saved. And that even if you can't have the whole thing, save what could be saved. You don't have no idea what achirim could come from this one small thing. We have any idea? Any clue? Who sitting in this room could have a child who's going to illuminate the whole world? Or yourself could illuminate the whole world? But at the very least, let's say you have a guy who's like really, really not matzliach. So you just kick him out onto the street, you don't work with him, you just... You have no idea what could maybe that maybe if that person has a child, you have no idea what it's going to be with that. Shemu Yerg is achir. One of the most terrifying things about being a rebbe or about working with people is that you're not just looking at like Moshe Rabbeinu had to have the insight when he was killing the Mitzri. Vayifen kova ko vayarkein ish. Chazal tell us vayifen kova ko vayarkein ish. He had to look into the future and into the past to make sure that there was nobody connected to this mitzvah who would ever be worthwhile to save him. By even Kovako, he had to look into the future to see maybe this mitzvah is going to, I don't know, maybe he'll have a descendant who's going to become a convert and he'll be able to save the entire Jewish people. And it was only after Vayifen Kovako and he saw with Moshe Rabbeinu's Aspaklaria Meira, he was able to see that there's nothing of value from this person by Yachas HaMitzvah. Then he was able to hit the mitzvah. But we don't have that type of vision. And therefore we have to be so careful never to discard a person, never to discard ourselves, never to discard an hour of our learning. Never to discard a Shmona Esrei, like the Chafetz Chaim used to say, that if a person is in the middle of Shmona Esrei and they wake up and all of a sudden that's Sim Shalom, so you say, oh, I blew it. You know, after all, first of all, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you don't have Kavanah in the first bracha, the whole thing is no good. And the Ramah already says that we're not going to make you say it again because you probably just won't have Kavanah again. And I'm all the way at the end, and I'm like, I'm in Sim Shalom. So I blew the tefillah. Okay, I'll have to wait till Marv. I blew Mincha, I'll wait till Marv. I blew Marv, I'll wait till Shachris. So the Chafetz Chaim says, that's the Yetzer Hara. Do you have any idea what would come from that Sim Shalom? Those are powerful words. Sim Shalom, Tov Rachim, Chesed Rachamim. We have no idea from those few words to save, to divide the camp, and to save whatever it could be. Divide the camp and say, okay, the first 18 brachos, the first whatever, 17, 18 brachos of Shmona Esrei, Esav already came and took them. But I have a bracha, divide the camp, save what could be saved. Hachi chashuv, especially now at the end of time, and everybody knows we're just waiting for a few marbles. We're just waiting for a little half a mitzvah here and half a mitzvah there, a little bit of kavana here and a little bit of kavana there, to bring the whole house down, literally. So Hashem should help us. Hashem should help us that we shouldn't give up. Recognize that the soul of Rabbi Meir or some equivalent could still be salvaged. To realize that a sim shalom is not a worthless thing. To realize that half an asher yatzar, paying attention in the second half, is also good. Paying attention in the harachamans, even if you didn't pay attention to the beginning of benching. Benching, even if you forgot to wash and make a motzi. Salvage what could be salvaged. Story with the Vilna Gaon, I like to tell, but there was a Jewish guy who committed the unthinkable crime of taking someone else's life, and he was put in jail by the authorities, and this Yid was in jail, and he gave up on everything, and the Vilna Gaon went to go visit him, and the tzaddikim, and he saw that this guy was, you know, time for lunch or whatever, they brought him food, and he started to eat the bread without washing, and he said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Rabbi, I killed somebody." "Wow, wash and make a motzi? Like, it's finished." And the Vilna Gaon said to him, "At afal pikin, you have to salvage what you can salvage." Okay, so first of all, there's something called tshuva. And second of all, even if you're theoretically right, you're sitting in jail and you don't have, it wasn't like you had access to Sfarim. And, you know, it's not like you could, like, spend the rest of his life, like, learning. And it was in jail with, like, stomach. I don't know if the food was even, you know, necessarily like the high standards of kashrus, and the Vilna Gaon said, "You do what you can do. You don't, just because you did something unthinkable doesn't mean that you can't still salvage. Be very careful." He was afraid maybe he would be killed, but even that part of him that would be killed, there's still the possibility of salvaging the achir. No, we should try to salvage what we could salvage, and not only that, but. I don't think it's just about salvaging. I think there's plenty of it for us to do. It's not just salvaging, you know, wreckage. There's a lot to build. And there's a lot of good to do. B'ezrat Hashem. What should we do here? What should we do? What should we do?
Al-Khayyam Sal-Kodesh Nedar Bechavon
על המרכב זכות ומישור לפני חיסו חסד ירחמים מלא
It's almost over.